This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Father of all, we pray to you for those we love but see no longer. Grant them your peace. Let light perpetual shine upon them, and in your loving wisdom and almighty power, work in them the good purpose of your perfect will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. A book of poetry arrived at my door on Tuesday morning, a gift from my son and his girlfriend, and I've been lost in it every free minute I've had, because this isn't just any book of poetry. This is Mary Oliver, and if you're not familiar with her, I commend her highly. Our former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, described her as the foremost Anglican theologian of our time, and him being a poet, he should know. So I opened it, and my eyes fell on these two brief poems. The first one is called This Morning. This morning, the red bird's eggs have hatched, and already the chicks are chirping for food. They don't know where it's coming from. They just keep shouting, more, more. As to anything else, they haven't had a single thought. Their eyes haven't yet opened. They know nothing about the sky that's waiting, or the thousands, the millions of trees. They don't even know they have wings. And just like that, like a simple neighborhood event, a miracle is taking place. And this one that she entitles, The World I Live In. I have refused to live locked in the orderly house of reasons and proofs. The world I live in and believe in is wider than that. And anyway, what's wrong with maybe? You wouldn't believe what once or twice I have seen. I'll just tell you this. Only if there are angels in your head will you ever possibly see one. I have refused to live locked in the orderly house of reasons and proofs. I like that. And yet, when a baby is born, when we're celebrating an amazing baptism of so many, or when someone dies, or on a day in the church calendar like today, when we remember all the saints and all the souls, we begin to think of existential questions. Who is God? Who are we? Is there a God? What is heaven? Where do we go when we die? And who are we there? And what do we do? Some are satisfied to say we're nowhere. It's just over when it's over. Others feel deep in their bones that there is so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. In the foreword of a little anthology called Heaven, put together by Roger Furlow, he writes in the foreword, and I quote, "Only by considering closely the things of this world can we have any clue about the things of the next." That's why I love Mary Oliver so much, because she notices every little detail of our beautiful creation, everything that's alive, and she pulls us to look too, without having to know all the answers. And in fact, in one of her poems, she says, if someone says they have all the answers, run the other way. So considering closely the things of this world will mean something a little different to each one of us because of our experiences, our prayers, the way we interpret the Bible, our poetry, our stories, and even how we look at nature. Here in Florida, we have the constancy of the sea. No matter what, the waves roll in and the waves roll out. No matter what, that sun is going to rise and be brilliant and bold. And no matter what, that full moon, like it did last night, is going to rise over the ocean and be sparkling and shiny and bright. Maybe mountain people feel the same way because of the way the seasons come so regularly and so brilliantly every time. And maybe the desert people notice the particular in the way that vast expanse is always there, the mystery of the vista. And when it comes to our experiences of death and dying, we know what we have experienced in those with whom we have shared this earthly journey. I cannot tell you the number of times when I have preached about my own experience of that or have been in a conversation and people will invariably come up and want to tell me their stories. Because it's not what we talk a lot about with each other. We think we're a little weird if we do, but it happens every time. That connection with somebody who has passed on before us. Many of you knew my mother, Beverly, and I had the privilege of spending a great deal of time with her for the last few years of her life. I lived with her, and in taking care of her in those last days, she would drift in and out of consciousness, and then once in a while, with her eyes closed, she would be talking to my father, who had died several years before. Maybe, just maybe, he was present, not only in her thoughts, but really there, in some way. My good friend Mary, that I knew when I worked up north before I came here, was our pastoral care coordinator. She was a nurse and also licensed to take communion out to people. And after I moved down here, she called me one day and just had to share the story of a visit with a man named Ron, who was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. And she said the wife had called and said, please come, I think it's near the end. And she went, and every time he would be kind of, you know, lethargic. But this day when she walked in, he rallied. His family had come in from out of town, and they all gathered around the bed for Holy Communion. Even the dog was there. Afterward, Ron looked around his bedside, she said, and thanked them all for coming, and said, too, how nice it was that his father was there. And his son said, Dad, Gramps isn't alive anymore. And he said, well, then, who is that? And he pointed over the mirror. Mary prayed a prayer for the saints from our Book of Common Prayer. And she said Ron was so content and so peaceful, so blessed. Who are we to doubt that they were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that filled the room, comforting Ron and blessing them all, whether they knew it or not? Who are we to doubt? We cannot speak for anybody else. One scientist will explain, oh, that's just a depletion in the oxygen levels of the brain or some kind of biochemical changes. And another scientist who's had a near-death experience will say, ever since that near-death experience, my life has never been the same, and I will never look at the molecules and the atoms on which I look in the same way again. Phyllis Tickle writes much the same in her article in that little furlough book that I mentioned at the beginning. And maybe that's what Paul meant when he wrote his letter to the Hebrews, when he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And this in his letter to the Corinthians. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. In our tradition, we believe that in death, life is changed, not ended, that we continue learning and living in whatever way that is. That's why we pray for the departed. That's why we will say the names of those of whom you have submitted, and we will name them, name by name, when we gather around this table for Holy Communion. And yes, we'll be sad because we miss them, and there is this great gift that they continue to give us. We're sad because we love so deeply, and that is reason to celebrate, my friends. And it's why we say, every single week, at every single Eucharist we have, that we are joined by angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as we sing. There's a story of a good man who dies and goes to heaven, and he walks in through the pearly gates, thrown wide open for him to enter, and it's just like he thought it would be, everything he had read in the Bible, okay? The golden streets and alabaster and honey and golden harps. And he wanders around lost in happiness until he notices he's all alone. So he goes back to the front gates and he says, Peter. Yes, my son, says Peter. This really is heaven? Oh, yes, my son, don't you like it? And he says, that's just wonderful, but where is everybody? Where are the prophets? Where's the Holy Family? Where are the saints? Peter looks at him kindly and says, oh, them, they're all down in hell ministering to the damned. If you'd like to join them, I'll show you the way. We laugh, but maybe this very faith, this idea of heaven, gives hope to those who live in their own hell on earth. The child growing up in a refugee camp, or a slum, or someone living in a tiny jail cell, or homeless, or deeply, deeply grieving. We pray for all people this day, emphasizing our oneness and in everlasting life as defined by our Book of Common Prayer, and I quote, a new existence in which we are united with all the people of God in the joy of fully loving God and each other, end quote. That's everlasting life. It's not this time continuum that our brains insist on having. It's now, and it's here, always, if we have eyes to see. Margaret Margolis, who was our parish administrator before Charlotte Lees was, told a story. When she was here, she was going home from school one day with her kids, had picked them up from school, and they were in the back. Mary was about 3 years old. She was being real silly in the back seat, and Margaret said, you silly thing, where did you come from? And she said, Mary, got real quiet, and she said, well, from everywhere, Mom. She was three. In the week after my daughter Katie died, some 14 years ago now, the beginning of a famous poem by George MacDonald went through my brain over and over and over again. My mother had said it to us when we were little. And it starts, where did you come from, my baby, my dear? Out of the everywhere, into the here. I added an ending to that first line, and I read it at her funeral. And it goes like this then. Where did you come from, my baby, my dear? Out of the everywhere, into the here. Where are you going now? Where have you gone? Into the everywhere, singing a song. And sing she did. We can remember that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross tells us we will know how to die if we know how to live and rejoice and celebrate. And we need only look at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to know that life goes on. That's the message. And the hope. May you all be blessed this All Saints and All Souls Sunday in the knowledge and love of God, right now, right here, joined by all the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Amen.